Good morning. It is 8:41. It's Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumnick is here. Thanks for being with us here this morning for Ride Day morning. And, school. We got schools going on now, all different looks. Some are doing complete e-learning. Some have gone all in. Some have been in and out. Some have gone hybrid. One of those that started the year in a hybrid fashion was Knoxville District 202. And we did have a chance to chat before the school year with their interim superintendent, Joe Burgess, and he joins us this morning. Joe, good morning. How you doing? Oh, there you are. Now I got you. Joe, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Fine. How are you?
Good, good. Well, let's first off talk about how things have gone so far with the start. I know you guys, it wasn't necessarily a last-minute change, but you decided to go the hybrid model. And that's one that seems to have worked fairly well for the districts that have been doing it. What's been your impression of that so far within District 202?
I will start out by saying there's no perfect model other than going back to school the way it was a year ago. But with the hand we're dealt right now, we're able with the hybrid model to obviously have smaller class sizes and keep our students socially distanced at 6 foot apart. Our kids and staff have done a great job wearing masks, all the things that we are required and asked to do by the medical communities to help slow this down and get, in my opinion, eradicate it, get rid of it. We're doing, and that model's working so far. To say it's the perfect model, there really isn't one, but it kind of ties into, we had a special board meeting last night, and the vote was 4-3, and we heard from a lot of parents, a lot of community members out, health officials spoke on the topic, and very well on both sides of the issue of going back to 4 days, requesting to go back to 5 days, and requesting to stay in the hybrid due to obviously health and safety concerns, and everybody had the kids' best interest. There's just a lot of varying opinions out there right now, based on a lot of thoughts, and I don't know that the medical community is completely solid on that. So we're going to stay with the hybrid through the first semester, and the board's committed to looking at it again in December, and hopefully there's some things that can move on so that we can continue to get students back in the building.
Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202. As far as enrollment, was it still about what you expected coming into this this school year?
Yes, our enrollment's almost exactly the way it was last year. One of the things we were a little surprised, we thought we would have more students percentage-wise remote learning full-time, still taking that option that we have to obviously offer to our kids. Some districts are as high, I've heard, as 20-25%. We're only 10-15%. I know we had some folks at midterm, they had been full remote and they've sent their kids back, so our in-person is a little higher than we thought initially, with some of the initial surveys and conversations with parents and whether they're going to keep their kids at home full time or whether they're going to send them with the hybrid. So there've been a little bit better in person attendance than we originally thought. So it's went that direction. There's a couple other things that have to do with that, and obviously I think the IHSA plays a big part into us wanting to get back to school and all the activities. And I shouldn't just say IHSA, but I am the music, IMEA, and our drama club. And I mean, there's a lot of things that kids are involved in that right now that I think people are really itching to get back to some normalcy. So we're doing our best.
Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202. You mentioned the not only the enrollment, but also participation. How about as far as the e-learning? I know there have been some districts that have gone all e-learning and some with a lot of e-learners, but the attendance is not what they were hoping or would expect. How's your attendance been as far as that goes?
I got to really give a pat on the back to our staff and our principals. They've really made a conscious effort to try to make that contact with students every day. We're keeping track of attendance through whether they're contacting their teacher or not. And if they're not, we're reaching out, either emailing the parents or, depending on the age of student, obviously, emailing the parents or contacting the parents through phone or personally, and, you know, trying to work through that. That's obviously, Tom, the most difficult, because you just don't have that interpersonal face-to-face, you know, staring at a screen for a half hour and talking to your teacher for a half hour. Just not like being in the classroom with them all day. And to try to replicate that, I don't know that that's really, really possible. But our staff has done an immense amount of training on getting better at that. And I know everybody's goal when we started, from our school board to our staff to our principals, was we don't want a repeat of the spring. You know, nobody thought that March through May was good for kids on that, when we were completely shut down and kids really weren't held accountable by the state board. It was kind of, hey, we're going to shut down, and if their grades are what they are, just keep it the same, and they can't go down. And there were a lot of things that sent the wrong message, and so we've tried really hard to send the message that, hey, even though you're e-learning, this is for grade. We're taking attendance. And I think that approach from the very beginning, district-wide, we're starting to see some improvement with that.
Have you seen any issues? I know in different places, maybe not as bad if you're in town. It just depends. But you have a lot of rural students as far as the e-learning. I mean, some places, okay, well, I don't have enough internet speed, or we don't have access to internet, period. Have you run into those problems?
Yeah, I highly underestimated the amount of Wi-Fi sticks that we would need to provide. So we've probably went from initially about 15, what we thought we were told, by conversations with principals or somebody call central office. I think we've tripled that amount. There are parts, especially in the Knoxville district, when you go, you know, south towards DeLong or east out towards Gilson and Oak Run, and I mean, there's places out there you don't get cell phone service, so trying to get Wi-Fi is pretty difficult. So we've worked with both vendors, AT&T and Verizon, because it seems, depending on what part of our district you're in, sometimes those work better. Some people I know that are struggling even with a Wi-Fi stick, or have their kids come in town to a relative. So, that's been a struggle, especially in a rural, very rural district like ours.
Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202. You know, I used to think that Tyler had a problem with cell phone service south of town at his place, but I think it's just that he doesn't want to answer my calls. I'm just getting the feeling.
I'd love to see the light flash.
You know, if it makes you feel better, we'll go with bad service.
There you go.
Oh, I missed it again, Tom.
There it is. All right. You know, you mentioned, Joe, the whether IHSA or IMEA or whatever, you know as much as anybody, having participated in extracurriculars and having coached and everything as well, you know how important those are, and that those are to a lot of students. And it doesn't matter, a good student, a student that struggles, it's just really important to have those. Not only that, but as you mentioned, the contact with the other kids and the teachers, just that human contact even.
Right. The district I retired from, we had a program, and every year it had a different catchphrase, but we had 80% of our high school students involved in something. And the benefits from that I saw from that, statistically, whether it be discipline or grades, or just mental health of belonging to something positive, all of those issues We saw huge gains when we started that over a 5-year period. And I think it was a big district, but bringing that small town mentality to the big schools, there's not too many kids in Knoxville, and I'm sure surrounding areas, especially in small towns, that aren't involved in something. And so to say this, well, it only impacts a certain percent of our students. No, I'm going to say this is all impacting, a high percent of our students are involved in, and some of them multiple. I mean, I can remember guys have to leave the locker room and in the marching band with their football uniform on and perform, that we're doing multiple things. And so, I think that's actually a more accurate statement for the smaller the district, because a lot of kids doing multiple events. And I think it's really important that we get those and keep those, as close. Obviously, they're not where we're used to them being, and our seasons are flopped and changed. But I think it's really important that we keep those activities open.
Tyler, you did that in Knoxville, right? But did you ever have to leave the locker room like pep band or something? Or did you just played marching band in the fall and then you played basketball? Or did you have to ever?
No, I never had to do double duty.
Okay.
Some people, like cheerleaders and dance squad people, some did. But yeah, it just worked out for me that I was just a one-sport athlete, I never had to do double duty.
The reason you weren't in the locker room at halftime was not because you had to go play. It was just the coach did not want you there, is what I'm saying.
Wow. That's rude but accurate.
That never happened to Joe. Dave Morrison kept Joe in the locker room. And that might have been when the team came back out. I'm not sure. I can't back that up with facts.
Weird thing, it was a girls' game.
You may be off the air. I can tell you a few of those.
Oh, okay. Right. Joe Burgess, he is interim superintendent at Knoxville District 202, joining us here this morning. Well, Joe, I know it's not your department, but anything as far as the school board on a search for who will be the next superintendent?
Right. The board updated their flyer, and they'll be conducting. Obviously, there'll be a closed session part of our next board meeting. Well, they'll talk to the School Board Association search firm that gives them the names of people that they're going to contact for interviews. And then I think their interviews are going to be in November. So it's right around the corner in the next month. The board's going to be very, very active with that. And, I told them, obviously, I know an immense amount of people throughout the state, so I would do, any reference checking or anything like that to assist the board or stay completely out of it. That's up to them, but I've offered my, obviously, services to help them with any references, because it's important to me who's in here at Knoxville. So
yeah, I mean, because like as we talked about when you got hired as interim, you are not only invested in the kids, but you're invested in the district. I mean, that's where you grew up and everything. So you're really invested in what happens there and the future.
I am. It's not like Steve Waller was here for 10 years. I knew him really well, and talked to him on a few issues he had, and kind of tried to support the district and support the board on a few issues, and going back to building the high school and the sports complex, and I thought they were doing a lot of great things, and having been in the business for as long as I was, I wanted to let them hear from a friendly voice sometimes and say, hey, you're doing the right thing for the kids, and thank you, and I have a lot of family here, as you know, in the area, and so I care about what happens to my cousins and nieces and nephews and those kind of things. So it's very important.
Absolutely. Joe Burgess, interim superintendent, Knoxville District 202. You mentioned that you had the special board meeting the other night, and you were going to go through at least finish out the first semester in the same hybrid mode. Does your semester go in before the Christmas holiday break, or do you go after?
Right, I know it's right. Okay. Yes, right before the break. So we're going to look at it again, obviously, in December meeting, and hopefully have a plan to move forward into the third quarter. And this is so fluid, Tom, that it could change in a month. And so to say this is what we're going to do for the year just doesn't make any sense to me. I want to keep that door open for anything that we can change and open the doors up even more. And, if masks and social distancing and, a vaccine and all the things that are out there come to fruition, we want to be able to be ready to go.
Absolutely. Joe Burgess, Interim Superintendent, Knoxville District 202. You know, Joe, I just found out something about you through a text, and I had no idea. You were a baseball guy, which I did not know. I mean, I knew a lot of other, Knoxville guys that I knew played some baseball, but you were a baseball guy. Schwabe, Steve Schwabe just texted me and said, hey, tell Joe hi. I said, he was a heck of a hitter. I'm like, really? Who knew? I never asked anybody, I guess.
Since Steve's listening, I'm going to thank him for hanging all those curveballs and making
me look good. So. There you go. All right. Hey, Joe, thanks so much for your time. Really do appreciate it, as always. And I guess we'll probably chat again just before break and see where we're at heading into second semester.
Sure, anytime, Tom. I enjoy talking to you, and I even enjoy talking to Tyler, since you're not giving him any props or love today. I'm going to try to make him feel a little better.
I only had to give him $10.
So. You know, sometimes I enjoy talking to him also. It's crazy.
And I don't pay him anything.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, Joe, thanks as always.
Thank you very much, you guys.